And when they popped, I knew that oil was ready. And then I'd put the rest of the popcorn, just layer the bottom of it, and look out. It'd take off. Well, we've had a couple pops already. So that lets us know that the anointing is ready. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you ain't popped yet, look at your neighbor and say, I'm about ready to pop. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this is night four. In this teaching, we started out the first night in ride. Remember that? Revelation, inspiration, determination, expectation brings manifestation, and manifestation brings glory to God, hope for others, and richly allows you to enjoy life. Amen. Then we looked at the three faith questions. What is faith? How do I get faith? How do I use it once I get it? And then last night, we looked at the fear of the Lord faith. How the fear of the Lord works hand in hand with your faith for a consistent manifestation of God in your lives. Not just when you're backed into a corner and having to come out of a jam because of faith and then veer off and do your own thing later on. But tonight, let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to welcome all those that are watching online. Praise the Lord. We're glad you're tracking tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's put our eyes on verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That tells me if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you'll be shamed. You'll live a life substandard of what God had prepared for you. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we're going to look at some things tonight on how important it is to really understand the truth of God's word. Because there are a lot of voices in the land, and not all of them are rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you're not careful, in the social media world that we live in, you can be listening to someone that is not dividing the word of truth properly, and it affect your faith. It can throw you off. I've seen it happen where individuals got listening to Goofy Grace outside this church, and they were listening to somebody that wasn't rightly dividing the word of truth, and it contaminated their faith. And so we need to be sure what we're listening to and hearing is exactly what the word is saying, not opinionated, not what the denomination believes, but what does the word actually say. And interesting enough, when I was a youngster, I still remember this, when we lived in Wisconsin, my mom and dad had over their bed in their bedroom this little plaque-like thing made like a Bible, and it had this verse on it. And at 5 years old, 4 and 5 years old, I memorized it. And me and my little sister would have to go in there and take naps, and, of course, that big bed turned into a trampoline. And so I'd jump up, and I'd start reading that, and I got to where I could quote it at a young age, and not knowing how important that verse would be when I would eventually surrender my life to Jesus. And understand that we've been given the spirit of truth, that guides us and leads us into all truth. Amen? Now, 1 John chapter 4. Verse number 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So this is not Pastor Phillips' opinion that there's error within the church. It's in the Bible. And it's in the Bible way back yonder, if you will. You understand way back yonder? So there is a spirit of truth, and there is a spirit of error. And, you know, when you make an error, it's a mistake. And if you make a mistake in the faith life, I'm not talking about you make a mistake and you just go to God and get that squared away. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you believe, when your belief system is in error, then your mouth will be in error. Then your actions will be in error. And you won't have the manifestations, and you'll embrace a false doctrine to support why you don't have. God's keeping it from me. And so on and so forth, that kind of stuff. And when we get over here to Romans and chapter 8, we find this verse powerful. In verse number 15, Romans 8, 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Okay, so we've already seen in 1 John the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Here we see the end result, a spirit of bondage or the spirit of adoption. And what's in the middle is 2 Timothy 1, 7, the spirit of fear, and 2 Corinthians 4, 13, the spirit of faith. So, we have the spirit of error, which produces a spirit of fear, which results in the spirit of bondage, right? Then we have the spirit of truth that produces a spirit of faith that results in the spirit of adoption. Are you following this? Two total different directions, right? Okay. Now, with that, let's go over here to 2 Peter. Well, we're going to get in some stuff tonight. You better be ready. Second Peter chapter 3. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. Verse 15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest or wrestle, as they do other scriptures. Now watch this. Unto their own destruction. Now who's destroying who? Isn't it something that the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy? So right here, when you're not rightly dividing the word of truth, you can listen to somebody that has wrestled the scriptures unto their own destruction and form a doctrine of, you know, well, that's just God did that, an act of God, right? Are you following this? Does it say unto their own destruction? So you can take scripture and not rightly divide it and get destroyed with it because you think it's God, because your belief system. And there's all kinds of people that are leaving this planet early, unfulfilled, not knowing what God wanted them to do, because why? They wrestled with the scriptures. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith, not fight faith. But yet, that's one of the most attacked messages is the faith message. The very thing that we're supposed to live by, people that are unlearned and unstable, they wrestle around, and you can take scripture and make it support what you want it to support. See? And so that word rest there in the Greek, look at it up on the screen. Strebloo, to wrench. Watch this. To torture. There's people that torture scripture. Tear it up. To pervert. To pervert. That's why we got all this sin in the camp. Sexual sin. Right? Because they take scripture and bend and twist it and say there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. Matter of fact, we got our pastor's a homosexual. Our pastor's a lesbian. The denomination I was raised in. Major split over that. Why? Because people did not rightly divide the word of truth, and they perverted it, they wrestled it unto their own destruction. But notice it's from 47:62. Strepho. Now watch this. To twist, to turn around or reverse. Now what when you twist something, that's one thing. But when you turn it around to mean another, when you totally teach it in reverse, we want the verse of Scripture, not the reverse of Scripture. Are you following this? And it's out there. It's out there. It's on Christian television. They got podcasts galore out there. And you have to be discerning. You have to rightly divide the word of truth. You cannot allow anything to contaminate your faith. And you're going to see how important it is when you subject yourself, your ears, to any old voice. You got to be looking for clean voices. That everything is word supported in clarity, not bent and twisted to make it fit some kind of lifestyle. When you take the truth in its fullness, it will create your lifestyle on how you're supposed to live. Are you following? Okay, I can see y'all real excited about this tonight. But this will save you from making a goofy mistake, right? Okay, now Hosea 4:6, don't turn there, says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they rejected it. They rejected it. How many of you know when you start reading the Word of God that there'll be some things that you just don't like? I only got three people in here. Well, I'll just go on leap early. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I can see that really blessed. How many of you know there's scripture that you don't like initially? That help you help your soul out, right? Love your enemies. Forgive. Right? Come on, somebody. Are you following this? You can't reject truth. You got to embrace truth. And you know, the Word of God says, hey, God will send strong delusion. If you want to believe in error, he'll send strong delusion that you'll believe a lie. In other words, he's not really looking at somebody and say, be delusional. He just lets you go. He just lets you go. And all those spirit-filled people that were supposed to witness to you, they ain't around. And there you are in your delusional self. And it's going to take a miracle from God to bring you out of that kind of darkness. Are you following? Now, we want to look at some things tonight. We're going to kick over some sacred cows tonight. Amen. Because there are things said from the pulpit. There are things said in Bible studies. There are things said Christian to Christian. There are things said Christians witnessing that are not biblically sound. And when you're transferring words to somebody else that are not sound, then you're throwing them in a wrong direction. And you're giving them the wrong impression of who Father God is. I grew up hearing God's going to get you for that. I was scared of God. And anytime they had an altar call, I'm running to the altar. I don't know how many times I got saved. Hallelujah, because I was scared, you know. I didn't know that Father God's a God of love, right? Didn't know that, see. And when your whole church embraces that, all the way from your Sunday school teacher, you know, and your parents and all the people that you hear, and your pastor and so on and so forth, you think that's just the way God is, see. And that's not what the Bible says. And so we're going to look at some things tonight that we're just going to kick over. And some of these are simple things that are simple to you. But when you first heard them, you're like, wait a minute. For instance, the money is the root of all evil. How many of y'all heard that before you knew the truth about that? Right? But 1 Timothy 6:10 says it's the love of money is the root of all evil. See? But when you hear money is the root of all evil, then all of a sudden, you know, you come up with, you know, them people are filthy rich. And it just messes with your head not to get it much of it. Right? When the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. But when you hear that, and you can have your TV on, and somebody on TV say, well, we know money is the root of all evil. I mean, and they're just repeating what they've heard, but it's not Bible. See? And when find out it's the love of money, you can be flat broke and still be in love with money. And that's all you're thinking about. Money, 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 money. Right? So these different things that people have said and have taken it that it's Bible. That's just, well, that's what the Bible says. No, those are half-truths. And see, when you take a half a truth and you don't put the full truth to it, then that leaves the person to decide what's the rest of it. Are you following that? And it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And that same chapter goes on talking about what you're supposed to do when you are rich, right? And so God's not against riches. He's not against money. He's against you in love with it, right? But he gives us richly all things to enjoy. Here's another one that is abused in the body of Christ. Well, we know that all things work together for good. Little Johnny got run over by a cement truck. Well, we know that all things work together for good. Now watch this. That's being said. And so the parents hear that. And it's messing with their head. What kind of God works like this? And that's not, it's not even talking about that. But that's a scapegoat for Christians. Well, we know that all things work together for good. In other words, they can't explain the goodness of God and what the Bible actually says about that. So that's their scape. Right? When it's talking about your flesh and your soul and your spirit all working together for good. Chapter 7, chapter 8. You read those in context. It's talking about all things working together for good. You get your soul renewed by the Word of God, and you're led by the Spirit of God, then your flesh will not be dominating over you, and we know that all things work together for good. Are you following what I'm saying? To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. But it gets abused. It gets abused. Half-truths, see? And you got to be on guard for that. Because otherwise, somebody will throw that up at you, and you're like, and if you're not in a place where you're being taught truth, you're like, yeah, why did little Johnny? Well, God must have needed a flower in heaven. When Johnny was supposed to live out his life, his destiny, right? Are we seeing this? Okay, another one. Judge not that you be not judged. Are you kidding me? You better judge when you're picking out a cantaloupe. Well, that's talking about judging folk. Well, you better judge folk if you're going to hire people working for you. Hello? We judging folk all the time. But the Bible says judge righteous judgment. Are you following? You judge righteous judgment. But people, you know, if any kind of correction comes up, you judging me? Well, really, yeah. Yeah. What's that talking about? It's talking about being racist. It's talking about looking down on folk. It's not talking about that you don't use judgment. My goodness, if you don't use judgment, how are you going to even know how to, like when I played basketball, I knew if it was a close game not to throw the ball to Mike. Now I'm throwing it to Thomas. He gonna knock it down, right? Now Mike was a good ball player. But percentage-wise, I judged under pressure, he ain't going to hit that thing. Are you following what I'm saying? So this whole thing about judge not that you be not judged has been this thing where people stay unaccountable. Are you judging me? Bible says not judge me lest you be judged. Cast a beam out of your own eye. Well, certainly you need to mature to have some spiritual judgment, right? Right? You can't be walking around, correcting folk when you got the same mess going on in your life, right? But that's another scapegoat. Are y'all still here? You want another one? Well, here's something. This one right here turned me around. Noah loaded the ark by twos. But the Bible says in Genesis 7, verse 2, that he loaded the clean beast by sevens. When I saw that at the farm, I got hot because I'm looking at that, and it's in the Bible. But yet, everybody I knew on the planet had Noah loading the ark by twos. Now, if we're wrong with that, what else could we be wrong with? I want to know truth. Well, that don't matter. Yes, it does matter. Because if you just take and swallow down all these passed down cliches or all these passed down religious sayings, that makes you gullible to where you're wide open to whatever. See, and we're going to get into some whatevers here in a minute. Right now I'm just showing you some simple things. Here's another one. Jesus was born in a manger because he was poor. How many of you know that ended up getting blown out of the water? Right? Poor, poor Jesus. He was so poor that he had to be born in a stable. And they laid him in a manger. And we find out in Luke 2:7, there was no room in the inn. That's an eye-opener. There I was. Mama Danger handed me this VHS. Wait, that's how far back. Of John Avanzini. Was Jesus poor? And I didn't listen to it at first, you know. And then there we were down at the Alpha House with our little VHS and our little TV, because we didn't have regular TV. All we could do was watch the VHSs. And finally, one day, I was quick to put that thing on, and I was captivated. Now, up until then, born again at the farm, 14 months at Mom and Daddy's house, lived in the Cliff House. Now we're in the Alpha House before this truth comes. Before this truth comes. And when it did, I said, look out. Jesus was never poor? Are you kidding me? I thought that's why that he was born in a stable. How many of you was taught the same thing? Now, come on, help pastor out, right? A lot of you came in here and you heard it right off the bat, so it's like, oh, yeah, I didn't ever hear that, right? But those of us that were raised up in it, you know, that's what we heard. But that's not what the Bible says. You got to rightly divide, see? Hallelujah. And then on top of that, three wise men came to the manger. That's not what the Bible says. But yet you still have, you know, the Christmas drama with the three wise men. And we find out there wasn't three of them. There was a whole magi. And when they did get to Jesus, he was 2 years old living in a house. Now see, folks, you know, these are not petty things. Because when it comes to your healing, you don't want sometimes he does, sometimes he don't. God works in mysterious ways. See, you want to know. See, and that's where we're going tonight. And here's the last one I put down. Broad is the way, and narrow is the way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there that go there. But narrow is the way that leads to life, and a few there be that find it. How many of you heard that? Right? And it's preached like there's only a few that's ever going to get born again. Now, let's stop and think. Is God going to be outdone by the devil? That was weak. Is God going to be outdone by the devil? No, that's not even what that's talking about. It's talking about Zoe. That word leads unto Zoe, the God kind of life. There are many. The broad is the way that leads to destruction. We got brothers and sisters that are going down that path of destruction. Why? Because they don't know they're supposed to be living the God kind of life. But there's a few, Faith Victory Church, there's a few that embrace, come on, that we're supposed to be living the God kind of life right here, and we have found it. Come on now. So we're not the majority. You take and put us in with the folks here, even in Frankfurt, the Christian brothers and sisters in here. We would be, if we said we're supposed to live the God kind of life, they'd push us over in that group. And by the time the dust settled, we'd be a small group compared to the majority. Not that they don't love God, but they don't know, they haven't rightly divided the truth. Are you following this? Okay, I'm trying to get there. Now, just listen to this so I can get where I'm going. These are sayings that are assumed to be truths. You never know what God's going to do. Everyone has their burden to bear. I already mentioned filthy rich. God will not give you more than you can bear. Here's one. Heaven gained another angel. Act of God. Oh, here's one. Everything happened for a reason. Well, there's truth to that. But when they say that, they're throwing it off on God. When you're the reason. Come on now. God works in mysterious ways. Oh, here's one. Let go and let God. Careful now. I just stepped on some of y'all's little conversation. Let go and let God. No, it don't say let go and let God. It says lay hold on eternal life. Well, I've just turned it over to God. Well, then just say that. Because you don't know who's listening, that they're just thinking, well, you just let go and let God. Come on now. You better not let go. You better be holding on. And the last one, God's in control. That one is every day. God's in control. Folks, if God's in control, then I don't know if I want to go to heaven. I mean, if he ain't got no more better control over this planet, come on now. Follow this now, because these are things that contaminate your faith. And there's more. There's more. I'm just bringing these out because where we're going. And I want you to see how valuable faith teaching is, and understanding and rightly dividing truth, how important it is. And when Jesus, the head of the church, calls for meetings like this, he knows how to cause us to triumph. He knows how to bring victory into our life. And a lot of times what happens is he has to clean up a little bit. And he wants to shore up, or he wants you to guard yourself because of these sayings that are out there. And, you know, when you live the life of faith, you have to say what God says. You have to. And pretty soon, it's not you have to. You just do. Because you know it true. You know it to be true. Right? Okay. So, let us go even deeper in this. Can we? Well, we're going to. Job chapter 1. Yeah. Job. Bucky's about the fastest. One in here. Even before I can say hallelujah there, Bucky's on. Hallelujah. Okay. Job chapter 1 and verse 21. And this is Job talking. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, does the Bible truly state that? But is it a statement of truth? Okay, now this is something as a born-again believer, if you're going to rightly divide the Word of God, you have to know who is talking and whether they're talking in line with God's Word or their own opinion or even speaking on behalf of the devil, right? So everything in the Bible is truly stated, but not everything in the Bible is a statement of truth. Now, that right there will open your eyes to a lot of things, because folk will say, well, the Bible says it. Well, the Bible states it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, what He says. But all Scripture is God-breathed. It's given to us for learning. But not everything in the Bible is God talking. But it's truly stated what has been said. So if you state what somebody stated in the Bible that was truly stated, but it's not a statement of truth, but you're telling someone that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. You had just contaminated, you had just damaged, corrupted the hearers. Funerals, where the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And depending on the situation, there are people there that are looking for answers. There are people there that are wondering why. How come? And all of a sudden you hear this, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And regardless of that, you just got to bless His name. That'll mess you up. You know, I've talked about this many times, but you know, my mother was a foster mother. They say that she took care of over 500 foster kids in her lifetime. All I know is from the time I can remember till the time I left the house, there were foster children. And she won Kentucky Mother of the Year back in the day when I think it was Governor Carroll was the governor, and was runner-up nationally at Waldorf Astoria. And so all the young mothers, and she took care of the church nursery, a church of 1,500 people, which was a mega church back in those days, biggest Methodist church around, nationally and internationally known. And she was in charge of the nursery, and it was a huge nursery, several rooms, you know, to that nursery. And she ran it. I mean, you know, those young mothers would bring the baby up there, and that baby would be crying, and the mother didn't want to leave. She said, give me that baby. Go get in church. That baby be screaming, and mom take that baby, and, you know, in 5 minutes, that child, I mean, it was astounding how she handled children. I mean, she just knew them. And we had this lady in our back, right behind us, the street behind us, the house there, that couldn't supposedly have children. And the church prayed. We never see miracles. We just prayed. And we prayed that she could have a child, and she gets pregnant. Oh, now we got a miracle in the church. I mean, boy, this big time. And, you know, she's over at our house all the time asking Mama questions. You know, what do I do, this and that. Mama's like, it's okay. You'll see. I'll help you. And she gave birth to that child. And, you know, she would run with that child over to the house, and Mom show her how to bathe her and so on and so forth. It was a big deal in our church until 6 months later when the child died in the crib. And so, I went to Mama about it. And she ain't had no answers. We'll know by and by, son. God works in mysterious ways. We just got to thank God for the time we had with that child. All that mess. Right? Right? The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's something Job is going to repent from. So you're taking a statement that Job is going to repent from ever saying, and you're going to utilize it to explain God, to explain a situation. Folks, now follow this, because you got to be vigilant on what you're listening to and whoever is saying it. Kenneth Hagin Sr. said, you better prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Eat the meat, spit out the bones. Well, I don't even want to have to spit out bones. I want clean voices where I can open up my heart, open up my soul. You know, when preachers come in here to preach, you know, I'm pretty quiet because I'm listening to everything, because this one here is responsible for what goes in your ears as far as these walls are concerned. And if anything is said that I know to be wrong, I'm going to get up and I'm going to make the adjustment, period. I'm not going to let you go out of here thinking, well, that's different. No. So everything in the Bible is truly stated. It's truly recorded, right? But not everything in the Bible is a statement of truth. That doesn't make the Bible less holy. It just lets you know that God knew to record these things so that we could look at them and learn from other people's mistakes, right? And we could have a history founded on faith, like Father Abraham, right? And these different faith giants that have done all these huge faith acts in their life. And we can look and learn from them, right? But not everything in the Bible, just because somebody says, well, it's in the Bible. Okay, it's in the Bible, but who said it? Did God say, I give and I take away, and you better bless my name? Now, if he said that, okay, we got to just change everything. He never said that. He never said that, right? Well, while we're in Job, how many of you have heard that scripture though be used? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Come on. Right? And it leaves people in confusion. That mother of that child was left like, what was that? What happened there? What did I do wrong? And see, folks, when the spirit of error is being released like that, it damages people. It can damage them the rest of their life. Me and Mama Alberta, we were out doing street evangelism years ago. And Alberta was talking to this lady and said, God loves you. He understands where you're at. And she just, her whole face changed. And she just went off on her. God killed my grandbaby. And Alberta's trying to say, God's not going around killing people. But she heard that. She heard that. You don't come up with, God killed my grandbaby. I mean, you better have something somewhat trying to back that up, like a false doctrine of some sort, versus just some kind of conclusion. Are you following what I'm saying? And that was years ago, see? And, you know, I remember when I got a call one night, you know, I was doing bar evangelism back way back, and I'd struck up quite some ears listening. And one of the guys called me up, he's half lit, and said, "Preacher, you do funerals?" I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Well, I need you." And what had happened was a little baby, Preemie, had lived for, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. Everybody's heathen in the family. When I went over there, everybody's drinking and getting high, and the mother is just bitter, just totally bitter. And I'm got to do this funeral. And all they want to do is graveside. And so we get there, and there's about 30 people there, I'd guess, and they bring out this little coffin. And, you know, it stunned the parents. And it was what they call interracial couple, even though there's no such thing. But when the coffin came out, the funeral director said to the grandmother who was heading this whole thing up that, you know, the child was only this big and we have these little coffins and so on and so forth like that. And the mother said something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing, it's been so long ago, but I remember, we don't know why this happened. And the funeral director says, yes, the Lord works in mysterious ways. And, you know, he gives and takes and so on. And the Lord said to me, don't let those parents think that I took that child. Now, I don't want to, praise the Lord. Right? But if I let them go on thinking that, then they're going to think that, no telling, that could drive them to hell instead of to the love of God. And I started to minister, and I was saying, God doesn't kill. He's the giver of life. And the mother, the grandmother, just is livid on a front row. And I had to get where I couldn't see her. So I stepped over the grave, got right in front of the parents. And I said, I want you to know that God did not kill your child. Scripture does not back that up. And if we could have a phone call from here to heaven, you would see that your child's in heaven. And she would say, Mommy, I'm up here with Jesus, and I want you to come here too. Tears are rolling down their face, right? And there's a sister in the back saying, Hallelujah! Gave me some fire, right? And she came up and thanked me afterwards, right, for telling the truth. See? Are you in Job 15? I didn't tell you. You're supposed to know these things. Well, you don't want to go to 15. You want to go to 13. I'm waiting on Bucky, man. Where is Bucky at? Are you there? Job 13, look at verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Boy, you get over in that Pentecostal realm. Though he slay me, I will trust in him. Yes, amen. Contaminated faith. contaminated faith. Though he slay me. Okay, let's evaluate this. Okay, so the reason I'm trusting in him is so that he won't slay me. I mean, this is kind of like a forced trust. But even if he does. Now see, this is the God's going to get you for that doctrine that I was raised under. But especially in the Pentecostal evangelist meetings, they'll get fired up. And all of a sudden, though he slay me. Right? And it's astounding how the people jump to their feet. Yet will I trust in him. How can you trust in somebody that at any moment, you know, you... Right? Right? We're talking about right and rightly dividing. And see, over these next 2 weeks, we're going to rightly divide. We're going to ground ourselves in faith. Popcorn going to start popping in here. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. That contaminates people's faith. There you are, believing God for a miracle. Some preacher comes preaching, bouncing his way in. Boy, I mean you on every word. And then all of a sudden, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job's going to repent over this. I mean, let's take something you repented of and let's make that gospel. No. No. Well, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. God is not the slayer. Thou shalt not kill. So let's get this right. Do as I say, not as I do. That's how God's raising us up. No, 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 no. No. Not at all. Are y'all following this tonight? Because it's important where we're going over the next 2 weeks that you're going to hear faith uncensored. You're going to hear genuine faith. Not unfeigned faith, because that's what gives you the victory. Are you following this? Okay. I got 14 minutes. Hallelujah. Here's another one. Don't turn there. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Peter talking this time. We touched on this. Silver and gold have I none. And out of that, is built this poverty doctrine, a vow of poverty. A vow of poverty. I've heard it taught. Well, I've taken a vow of poverty. Woo! Okay. It's big in the Catholic Church. A vow of poverty. See? And they're not living in poverty. Right? Not at all. Right? But this is meant to imply that Peter never had any kind of finances. When you go to the next two chapters, chapter 4 and chapter 5, they're laying it at his feet. He's the one that was asking Jesus, what do we get? We've left all. Peter, I guarantee you, Peter, to be the first pope of the Catholic Church, he wasn't poor. Hello? So this whole business where people take a statement and they try to make, it's truly stated, But now they're trying to put their own interpretation. That could have been with the half-truths a while ago that I was talking about. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, go with me to John 8. John chapter 8. Hallelujah. John 8. Look at this. In verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciplined ones indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You shall know the truth, and the truth that you know, the truth that you know shall make you free. Come on now. It's talking, the implied subject is truth that's known. You shall know the truth, and the truth that you know shall make you free. You can have truth about healing and be free of pain, but not have the truth about prosperity and owe everybody in town. See? So we're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. And we need the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, to guide and lead us into all truth. Now listen. Listen to what I'm about to say. I wrote this down. Bible truth will free you from any kind of satanic darkness hold on your life. Right? Bible truth will free you from any kind of satanic darkness hold on your life. But you ready for the but? It does not free you from the responsibility as a child of God to be a doer of the word. This is what separates us from goofy grace. They're so free. They're so free that what Jesus did took care of everything. No, it didn't. If it took care of everything, look at the world. Well, I mean it took care of everything in my life. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Nope. Now, something he did provided, but you're not there. You're not there. You got to grow in these things. You got to find out about kingdom living. You got to learn how to be a doer of the word and what the word actually says and do it. Not just every now and then, all the time. So the word of God will free you from any satanic darkness hold on your life. But it does not free you from your responsibility to be a doer of the word. Well, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. See all that? They're taking scripture and they just want to support their laziness. And they call teaching of discipline bondage. I've been delivered from bondage. You don't know what bondage is. Well, I know about the love of God. No, you don't. Yes, I do. And that's what's important to me. He just loves me. This I know. I just climb up in Daddy's arms every morning. You're playing fantasy games in your imagination. You cannot know the love of God apart from the truth of God's word. Impossible. Impossible. You can't do it. The only way you're formulating a love. You're making up a love of what you think it is. Watch this. Here's how you know love. Make a mistake. Goofy grace, everything's forgiven. Make a mistake. And you see the mercy of God as you go and get repentance. Because the truth convicted you. You're learning the love of God. I said you're learning the love of God. Come on now. You're learning the love of God. I'm not telling you go make a mistake to learn the love of God, but you're going to make a mistake or two in your Christian walk. And when you can run to God, right, and see how merciful He is, you're starting to understand more and more the truth that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this whole business about the love of God. See, you can't know the love of God, elder family, apart from His truth. They're one and the same. See, follow this now. This is not a light thing. Because there's this whole group out there that think they're free based on a soulless assumption of who God is. I'm not saying they're not born again. But boy, I'll tell you what. There's a fight of faith. There's a discipline to this walk. There's something you got to apply yourself. And so you can be free from every kind of satanic dark hold that the enemy has put on your life, but you are never free from the responsibility of being a doer of the word. You see that? You see that? Okay. Now, let's close. Oh, I got 4 minutes. Let's close right here just look up on the screen. I ain't got time. Romans 3:4. Look at this. Romans 3:4. God forbid, let God be true. Let God be true. But every man a liar, as it is written, that you might be justified in what you're saying and might overcome when you are judged. You stick with God. God is true. And you say what God has said about your situation. Come on now. That you can be justified in what you're saying, what you're standing on, and can overcome when you're being judged by other people, being judged by the devil trying to judge. How many of you know the devil judges? He'll try to tell you this. He'll try to tell you that. But this says, let God be true. Does it not? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Look up on the screen. But as God is true, our word towards you is not yes or no. And we know it goes on to say all God's promises are yes and amen. So it says, let God be true. Right? Let God be true. And God is truth. We're going to get over into these things about, the Word of God has to be the final authority in your life. No matter what it looks like. No matter statistically what's against you. Everyone else that tried to do that, it didn't work. Let God be true. If God sent you in a direction, let God be true. I remember when we were moving the sign out on the front of this church years ago, and there was another sign underneath it, and had a name of a church. I said, well, my goodness, there used to be a church here. And the Lord said, you weren't my first pick. That was humbling. But then it'd be years later when he'd say, I need your faith in Frankfort. Come on now. Come on now. Let God be true. God's word, truly stated, has to be final authority in your life. When that shepherd showed up and said those sheep weren't pregnant, and I'm walking away all bummed out because I just knew they were, or at least I thought they were, and the Lord said, what's wrong? And I just, well, you heard what the shepherd said, and just in that booming voice, but what did I say? Well, you said the cattle, all my cattle would produce. Then what's the problem? And those miracle sheep started dropping with no sign of ever being pregnant. Zero. Folks, I believe we're going to go there Sunday about 4D. But to go to 4D, you got to understand there's a whole bunch in 3D that there's voices out there that you got to be aware of. That when they say something, and even if it's in the Bible, was it what God said? Don't let anything contaminate your faith. Did you get anything out of that tonight? Amen. Amen. We're going to take up our world outreach offering tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you need to give an envelope, hold your hand up, and the ushers will assist you. Hallelujah. You know what I'm going to do tomorrow? Absolutely nothing. I'm going to sit at the master's feet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. We're getting calls from the radio program. That's encouraging. Hallelujah. Dad Tilton called me today, told me the television ministry is increasing. That's encouraging. Our voice is getting out there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you're making it happen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we honor you tonight, and we thank you for truth. We thank you for truth. We thank you, Lord, that we're not in the dark, but we're walking in the light of your word and the entrance of your word brings that light, gives understanding to all of us. We thank you for that. And Lord, we're reaching beyond as a world distribution center with our offerings, Lord, through all the means you've given us so far, primarily the television and internet and radio outreaches. And we thank you, Lord God, that what's being said on those programs is finding their way into the ears of those that are hungering and thirsting or desperate or whatever their situation may be. And we sow into that, Lord, that we just keep reaching out and moving forward, advancing your kingdom. Bless both gift and giver now. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Bring it happy.
Your treasure is there where your heart be also. I work hard, but I don't work hard for money. Money works for me. I trust God for money. I serve God, not money. I serve God with money. People get been out. heart shake when you say God and money, because they heart is out of place, because they God is money. They scared to lose it, so they spend money to guard their money. Jesus got me out the house, taught me to garden money. Now I'm planting in the field, yeah, I be farming money. He said go into all the world, but yo, I'm only one man. I can't be all over at once, but my resources can. Right now I'm ministering this gospel all across the land, and my heart is in my giving. He blessed the works of my hands. His promise, yes and amen, better than MGM Grand. They say get what you can what you get, and sit on the...
Praise the Lord. Well, you get a break in the action, but don't stop. Stay in this flow, amen. And keep your leap on. And Sunday is right around the corner, and we'll be back in here. You ain't putting no time limit on me Sunday. I'm gonna rear back and go on Sunday, amen. Lift your hands. Let me bless you. Father, blessings upon these, your people, as they go the way, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. I bless them out of the house of the Lord in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Somebody's neck is being touched right now. You move that neck around, you're going to see it loosen up, and that pain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody else, when you twist, you've been experiencing pain. That pain leaves now in the name of Jesus. And somebody, you've been having just real dull pressure right between your eyes, right in this area right here, that leaves now in the name of Jesus. And somebody, you have your back is just, the word I'm getting is it's been tight. It's been tight, and it's loosening up. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you, Lord God, for your healing power touching your people tonight in the name of Jesus. And again, I bless them spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Go in the joy of the Lord. We'll see you Sunday morning. Be a blessing.